University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD, all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with what I think is a very, very imperative issue today. That is the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. What is your position on that? Do you think that somehow, some way, that should be left intact? Is it good? Is it beneficial? Is it biblical? Is it something that Christians should embrace, conservatives and patriots? Should we embrace that? I'm looking at a headline that says, diversity hires may have caused the deadly D.C. air collision. And it goes on in the article, a group within the FAA determined that the workforce was too white. Then they concerted with a concerted effort to get the administration to change that and to change it immediately, Trump said. This was in the Obama administration, carried over in the Biden administration. Trump also blamed the former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg for focusing on diversity instead of competence. Now, I go back to the question, ladies and gentlemen, it's the key element. When you go into an automobile shop to have your car repaired, do you look for competency or skin color? When you want an automobile repaired, you go to the repair shop, the dealership. Are you concerned about that person's gender and what he may perceive himself to be and who he may sleep with? Are you concerned about getting that automobile properly repaired? I'm looking at the proper repair. I'm looking at the flight pilot that is capable and competent for carrying out the task. I look for the physician that has the capability and the competence, not gender, not ethnicity, not skin color, not some oddity with a perceived sexuality. But that's where we are today. And that's the reason I rejoice in seeing what President Trump is doing and eliminating that. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I'd like to give a small history lesson and a question. During World War II, particularly the Pacific War, carriers and radars and large amounts of planes on ship was a new thing. So you had a lot of busy going on in combat operations. They explicitly picked out people that had worked on Wall Street that were accustomed to working under very high stress with very large numbers and could juggle all of these multiple events occurring at one time. If you would have inserted a DEI, and now remember that this is the precursor to the modern-day control at airports. Radar, yes, was coming into its own. Air traffic control was coming into its own. Modern combat, information centers were coming into their own. If you would have inserted a DEI instead of somebody that earned that position through meritocracy, what would the state of aviation be today? It wouldn't be nowhere near what it is. You'd have planes falling out of the sky. So absolutely. I believe myself, personally, that meritocracy, here's the flip side to that coin. you're pushing DEI and you're not pushing meritocracy. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but there are plenty of people out here that have a vision and a goal and a dream to become something. If you take that away from them because they're not qualified, they're not the right sex, they're not the right gender, they're not the right color, there's a possibility you could lose an individual that may very well change the future. And look at people like, Einstein, all the great scientists throughout the ages, Galileo Galilei. If these individuals weren't allowed or they were suppressed because they were the wrong gender or the wrong color, we wouldn't be living in the world that we are. So it's a crime against the future, and it's a crime against development, and it's a crime against humanity.
Absolutely. Jim, let me run something by you and get your take on it. I'm looking at an article that lists a number of major corporate entities. I call them big box stores, the corporate entities, the giants out there, that have decided all of a sudden that they're going to do away with the DEI departments. Most of these institutions across America today were doing that because of the threats, subtle threats, from the Biden administration that if you did not adhere to and implement the DEI in your corporate entity, then somehow, some way, you would be circumvented by the federal government for any future contracts, etc. Target stores, Amazon, Walmart, Meta, McDonald's, Harley-Davidson's, Lowe's, Ford Motor Company, John Deere, GM, Tractor Supply, Brown and Foreman, and the list goes on and on and on with the corporate entities that have decided all of a sudden they don't need DEI. In fact, in my internal review of multitudes of these companies, they decided that it was costing them too much and harming their product and their sales and their end result of growth and development of the company. So they have learned, some of these have learned, now you got some of these corporate entities, Apple, Costco, Ben and Jerry's, J.P. Morgan, are refusing to relinquish their departments of DEI. In fact, with Costco, because of its largeness across the nation, 19 state attorney generals have filed suit against Costco because of its DEI program that is making major, major havoc in the workplace with hiring people and going against the operation that you and I would call the free exercise of the individual's rights to go in, file an application, ask for a job, etc., and then be turned down because of gender. So what say you? Should President Trump come in with the chopping axe and clear that out of all federal agencies? Is he doing the right thing in doing so? What would you say in relationship to it? Even to the point, and I'll read this article and then turn you loose with a response. Education Department employees placed on leave for attending diversity training. The statement had already gone out that diversity is over. We're not going to have it in the Department of Education. And yet some of the upper echelon in the Department of Education made the decision, we're not going to listen to the president. We're going to continue our diversity, and we're going to allow our employees to go to diversity training. Now, in your opinion, based on what we know about diversity, equity, and inclusion, what would diversity training be like? What will it be like?
I don't know. I can answer your first question. Government has no business picking winners and losers. Government has no business in DEI. A commercial corporation, if you allow the system to work, capitalism and consumerism there, you allow it to work, eventually it will sort itself out. But in my opinion, government absolutely has no business at all in anything promoting any ideological value or moral there. The government's there to protect the citizens, and the Constitution enumerates its purview, and beyond that, they should not venture. Borders, mail, interstate commerce, maintaining diplomatic relations with foreign countries, really beyond that, or maintaining a standing army and a navy, beyond that, if it's not in the interest of the United States, it shouldn't be in their interest at all.
Absolutely. And what you see with the DEI is counterintuitive in relationship to the benefit for America, the benefit for any corporate entity in America. In fact, the thing that is sad, Jim, is those that qualify under the DEI regs are the transgenders, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, those considered to be in the woke culture, those who are considered in that diversity, and that diversity generally, those that are anti-God, anti-morals, anti-Christian, anti-ethics, anti-values, anti-biblical, etc., etc. There's not one thing that I can find in the research and the recognition of what's happening under the DEI program that you would consider biblical, moral, ethical, or Christian whatsoever. So, Jim, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful again for what we have and President Trump and God's divine intervention putting him back in office. And, Jim, another portion of that DEI diversity, then there's the equity. And supposedly that focuses on the fairness and impartiality of getting the employee or getting the job. And there's not one thing that's fair or impartial in the hiring if all of the hiring you're going to do would say that if you're a straight white man, you're not qualified. If you're a straight white woman, you're not qualified. If you're a conservative, if you're a Christian, if you're a Republican, if you followed President Trump and voted for him, you're not qualified. So where's the equity in that? It doesn't exist. So I could go down piece by piece for hours in relationship to my research on the subject and determine that it is absolutely farcical to say that DEI should be kept in place. But yet, Jim, and I'll lay this on you, get your statement. Yesterday, after the radio broadcast, I had a telephone call, wasn't even on the church line, it was on the university phone line, and a man immediately started jumping in that I called myself a Christian, that I'm a pastor, and that I talked about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and talked about it in a disparaging way, and that is not what Jesus would have done. Jesus would not have responded that way. So my question to you, Jim, how do you think Jesus responds? What would we think that would be Jesus' position on DEI?
I don't think that he would approve of it there because you're doing a type of discrimination.
Yes.
And that in and of itself is a type of judgment. He told us to love one another, and he talked about our Christian brethren, and he talked about, you know, love your Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, all your strength. And he was God's man on the scene. I don't feel that the individual that came to you with that statement there has a correct interpretation of what Jesus' thoughts were.
Well, Jim, the whole problem, the underlying problem with that caller, and he didn't have backbone enough to call on the air so we could discuss it and let the listeners hear his whining. The whole problem is, as I perceive it, he was a disgruntled Marxist, socialist, communist Democrat that did not like the approach that President Trump was taking in eviscerating, eradicating, changing, wiping out all that's called DEI in the hiring process. It is a sad scenario that, again, as one of our callers said today, it is the socialist, Marxist, communist approach to divide people and to divide our nation. And Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter, about verse 25 and 26, says that a divided family cannot stand, a divided nation cannot stand, and the approach is to divide the nation, divide the people, to destroy our families, our homes, and our nation. Jim, it deserves our prayers, and I'm so thankful that God placed Trump back in office. My prayer is that God will preserve him, give him wisdom to carry out the task that God has placed him there for. Jim, thank you so much for your call, your input with what you've said today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're talking about today diversity, equity, and inclusion. Rather than call it diversity, equity, and inclusion, I'm renaming it. You can call it divide, eviscerate, and ignore. And that's the approach that's been taken now for quite some time under the former Obama administration and the most recent Biden administration. In fact, it has gone so far with the woke culture and the DEI that it has permeated so many of the larger organizations. I'm looking at a headline that says, Liberals launch the Great Tampon Rebellion. What happens when Mark Zuckerberg decides to stop indulging left-wing absurdities? Well, apparently, Silicon Valley's wokeness warriors respond with quite rebellious by smuggling tampons into men's bathrooms. You can't make this stuff up. Early this month, Meta removed tampons from the men's bathrooms and offices because, shocker, men don't need them. The article then states, according to the New York Times, Meta's resident gender warriors weren't about to take this tampon injustice lying down. Instead, they began covertly stocking the men's restrooms with their own sanitary products in an attempt to fight back. But that's not all. Some employees have started circulating a petition to bring back the tampons into the men's bathrooms. It's making sure a small percentage of employees have access to women's hygiene products in the wrong bathrooms, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good illustration of what the DEI has done. DEI says that you need to have the open bathrooms, you need to have the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that's in place, you need to make the hiring decision based on the person's perceived gender dysphoria as to what he thinks he may be. It includes all of the pronouns that you find individuals wanting to use and the woke counterculture that permeates our society today. We need to be thankful of what President Trump is doing and the eradication of that in every category, in every area. May I ask the question, why is it then that some are so upset with President Trump's executive orders to stop the DEI in all education, in all of the military, in all of the medical associations, every governmental agency, and multitudes are screaming, but DEI, ladies and gentlemen, must end. I'm thankful to see Trump doing that which is right, even in the sight of those that are in major disagreement. I'm looking at another headline, very similar to the previous ones we've looked at. Diversity hires may have caused the deadly DC collision by the aircraft. Another one talking about that taking place. Headline says, a scandal. J.D. Vance unloads on Obama and Biden's denial to hire white aircraft air traffic controllers because of the color of their skin. Let me read this article further. Palm Beach, Florida. Vice President J.D. Vance is doubling down on President Donald Trump's suggestion that woke hiring policies of the Obama and Biden administrations may have been factors in the deadly collision between the American Airlines flight and military helicopter that killed 67 people at the Reagan Washington National Airport last week. J.D. Vance, Vice President, said, here's the specific way in which I think the DEI policies of the last administration, the Obama administration, and the Biden administration contributed to where we are. We have a massive shortage of air traffic controllers. And in fact, there have been a number of lawsuits from people who would like to become air traffic controllers against the Obama and Biden administration, who basically said, quote, we were told not even to apply because of our color of our skin, because they were white people. Who wanted to be an air traffic controller? And under the DEI regime of the Biden administration, you are not welcome, they said. The article concludes, well, part of the reason why we had a shortage of air traffic controllers is because we are telling our air traffic controllers not to hire people because of the color of their skin. This is a scandal, and it's a scandal that must stop. Thankfully, that has been stopped under President Trump's administration already. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what Trump is doing is getting down to the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental problems in our society today. And I'm thankful that he is not, he doesn't openly say I'm a Christian. He doesn't say that I'm going to do what the Bible says. But I'm telling you now, it is apparent that someone is whispering in his ear those things that are right, those things that are biblical, those things that are godly. And in part, that means going back to the biblical precepts, concepts, and the things that the Word of God says. And God's Word does not approve of this thing that is called the DEI agenda. That is the transsexual agenda. That is the LGBTQI plus agenda. That is the agenda of the sodomites today, where they're supposedly, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to butcher healthy body parts from young men and young ladies. That has to stop. President Trump's already said that it's going to stop. Across the nation, all of the hospitals that have been doing children's transsexual surgeries, it's been stopped summarily. Some of them are griping. Some have filed suit against the Trump administration to get back to where they are, where they could continue to butcher and to have that barbaric surgeries on these young people. I'm looking at another headline. This is how President Trump is tackling DEI, borders and global accountability. This article reads, is DEI dying? We will discuss that later on the removal of DEI from the government and how it is saving Americans money in the process. Another headline, what is DEI? What challenges does it face amid Trump's executive orders? End quote. I'm going to read a couple of brief paragraphs. That telephone number, by the way, is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. It's the DEI. The diversity, the equity, and that process is divisive. It is not bringing together in diversity. It's divisive. And may I say it's divisive, and it also eviscerates and ignores any biblical principle. Headline, what is the DEI and what challenges does it face among the president Trump's executive orders. When President Donald J. Trump returned to the White House, one of his first actions as the nation's leader included beginning to dismantle, disrupt that divisive equity inclusion efforts at the federal level. The same day he took office, January the 20th, Trump signed executive order entitled Ending Radical and Wasteful Government DEI Programs and Preferences. He then directed that all federal DEI staff be placed on paid leave and eventually laid off. President Trump's orders also rescinded policies that required federal contractors to promote affirmative action and diversity programs. His actions are in line with his promises. Ladies and gentlemen, we voted for Trump because that's what he said. And from the Christian conservative biblicist patriot view, we should be eternally grateful that he's doing this. And yet we have those pulling their hair out, the hair on fire, with the socialist Marxist media and the left and the Democratic Communist Party that's saying he's going to destroy America. He's destroying the workforce. No, ladies and gentlemen, he's making it so that we can be safe when we get on an airplane. It'll be safe when we have surgery. It'll be safe for our kids to go back to a classroom and be trained with reading, writing, and arithmetic, not being told and taught the immoral, ungodly, unethical mindset of the DEI. This article says Trump's orders also rescind policies that required federal contractors to promote affirmative action. In the separate executive order entitled Ending Illegal Discrimination and Restoring Merit-Based Opportunity, Trump's order comes off the back of various happenings. The Supreme Court ruling against race-based affirmative action in 2023. The conservative backlash against DEI programs on the social media, in courts and in Congress, and a period of time during which multiple top companies have decided to end all of the DEI programs and end the support of the social cultural awareness events. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new day coming. And that, I believe, should cause us to rejoice and the realization and the recognition of what is taking place out of the Oval Office. Ladies and gentlemen, that number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let me read just a brief statement Headline, White House stuns with the list of abusive USAID expenditures, including help for the Taliban. Just one of the big moves President Trump and his administration took on Monday was to shut down the USAID, the government agency that for years has been handing out billions of taxpayer dollars to other nations. While bureaucrats fumed and the leftists claimed the action would cause incalculable injury, President Trump's office, press office, with no fanfare, released a stunning list of the offensive projects and USAID had in its hands and American tax dollars. Millions of dollars went to Eco Health Alliance, the organization involved in the research at Wuhan China Lab with the China virus COVID-19, likely emerged in killing millions of people around the globe. Then there were the payments for the hundreds of thousands of meals for Al-Qaeda-affiliated fighters in Syria. Irrigation canals, farming equipment, and fertilizers in support for an unprecedented poppy seed cultivation and heron production in Afghanistan, which benefited the Taliban. For decades, the United States of International Development has been unaccountable to taxpayers as it funnels massive funds of money to the ridiculous, in many cases, malicious pet projects. For example, $1.5 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplace and business communities. $70,000 for the production of DEI musical in Ireland. $2.5 million for electric vehicles for Vietnam. $47,000 for transgender opera singers in Colombia. $32,000 for transgender comic books in Peru. $2 million for sex change and the LGBTQ activism in Guatemala. Tourism in Egypt, $6 million. So, ladies and gentlemen, the USAID program evidently has simply been a catch basin for the socialist, Marxist, communist on the left called the Democrats to use as a piggy bank to put out funds to whomever they wanted it to go to. President Trump has put a stop to it. One fell swoop, he said, no, we're not going to fund those programs anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, just how would Jesus stand? What would he say? What would be his position? I would say two or three things very quickly. Cutting off body parts for boys and girls is a no-no, biblically speaking. The teaching of LGBTQ sodomite agenda to our children in school would be no, according to the scripture. Would Jesus approve of the woke culture with the special pronouns? The answer is no. Is it biblical to cause risk and harm to others because of a personal sin that you want to promulgate in others? The answer is no. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is DEI is unbiblical, unholy, ungodly, unchristian, and ought to say no to it across the board. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.